Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your very best in the person of your Son, and then also your very best in the person of the Holy Spirit, who you've sent both of them to us. One has left and ascended back up to heaven. One is dwelling within us the rest of this age, and we await the return of our Savior. And we pray that you would help us to enjoy him and enjoy all the gifts that he has given us as we wait for him to restore and heal this world far as the curse is found. We pray in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read one verse, and then I'll have a couple other verses sprinkled in. And I'm going to be talking about the gifts that Jesus gives tonight. That's kind of my big theme, is the gifts that Jesus gives. So here's the verse from John 1, verse 14. And the Word, that's Jesus is called the Word in John 1. The Word became flesh, he became a human being, and he dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. And here's the phrase I want to hone in on. Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. The big idea is Jesus Christ is the greatest possession that you could have. He's the greatest gift that God could give. If you have Jesus, you have everything. But Jesus is so good and so infinite and so marvelous that he's the type of gift that continues giving more gifts when you receive him. Jesus gives even more gifts. And the question I want to ask and try to answer is, what are some of the gifts? I couldn't name them all. What are some of the gifts that Jesus gives when he becomes your Lord and your Savior? And I want to mention three or four of these. Now, here I'm preaching to myself in this little caveat. When I think about someone getting me a gift, what I deep down want is a physical thing. I want, when I hear gifts, I don't want something that's an emotional or a spiritual gift. I want real, tangible, physical, something that can go under a tree and you can unwrap. That's, my guess is that's how you are too. We love stuff. We love material things, phones and cars and clothes and shoes. We love this kind of stuff. But think about how your heart works. The reason, my guess is, the reason you love getting a new iPhone, you know, that endorphin, that surge of endorphins you get in dopamine when you open the box and it's something new. The reason you like that is not because of the thing itself that you're getting, say a new phone. Trace that desire down in your heart. The reason you want a new phone or a new car or a new pair of shoes is you're looking to that item, that physical gift, to make you happy. Isn't that true? We like getting physical gifts because at the core we want to be happy. Happiness is not something you can wrap up and put under a tree. It's emotional. It's spiritual. So the three or four things that I'm going to mention that come from Jesus, they're not physical, but don't think they're any less real. In many ways, these are things that can do what your iPhone is never able or intended to do, which is actually make you happy. These three or four spiritual, emotional gifts from Jesus can accomplish what you and I look for physical things to accomplish, real happiness. So I want to start with one gift that Jesus gives that really only a Christian can know, and it's hope. One gift that Jesus gives is hope. Now, I've said this a lot. Barrett has said this. When the Bible uses the word hope, it uses it in a different way than how your average American uses the word hope. When your average American says, I hope for X, Y, or Z, what they mean is, I might get what I'm hoping for, or I might not get what I'm hoping for. You know, a bride on her wedding day says, I hope it doesn't rain. Knowing full well it might rain or it might not rain. Someone right before Christmas says, I hope we have a white Christmas. Knowing you might get a white Christmas or you might get freezing rain that knocks your power out. You're not sure which one's going to happen. Hope for the way we use the term as Americans is filled with uncertainty. But when the Bible uses the word hope, there's no uncertainty. When someone in the Bible says, I'm hoping in God, I'm hoping in God's salvation, that person can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that what they're hoping for, they will receive. What they're hoping for, they will receive. Here's how some of the biblical, I said I'd sprinkle in some verses. Paul says in 1 Timothy, Christ Jesus is our hope. That's a certainty. Paul says in Titus 2, the return of Jesus, he's coming back, the return of Jesus in great glory is our happy hope. Peter says in 1 Peter, you have been born again. You've experienced the new birth to a living hope. When the Bible uses the word hope, it's not talking about something that may or may not happen. It's talking about something you will definitely get. And what does a Christian have to hope for? You could summarize it, I think, in just one word, happiness. A Christian will be truly, deeply, forever happy. A Christian gets to hope in the future certainty of actually seeing God face to face. That's our hope. You know, and I can be very nostalgic. My favorite movie is a movie I liked and first saw when I was a kid. And the reason, I think one of the reasons it's my favorite is because of nostalgia. You know, we all have nostalgia. We all have, I think, deep down, the desire for the perfect vacation. The desire for the perfect Christmas. We all have deep down, I think, this homesickness where we want to go back to the good old days, whenever those days were. What are all those things? Nostalgia and the desire for the good old days and homesickness and the desire for the perfect vacation. I think at bottom, you're deep down craving the thing that only God can give you, which is a new destiny with Him, a new heavens and a new earth, the new Jerusalem, where you will be with God and you will be with God's people forever. So one gift that Jesus gives the Christian is hope. And that's not an uncertainty. That is a certain thing that you will get. So here's another one that Jesus gives. So He's the ultimate gift that gives hope. And He's the ultimate gift that gives also joy. Joy. Peter tells us that we have been given a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Inexpressible and filled with glory. Now, one of my pet peeves as a Christian and as a pastor, I'm not thinking of anyone here, you know, don't get offended, but one of my pet peeves is when Christians say, God wants us to have joy, but He doesn't want us to have happiness. I might just grit my teeth and not say anything, but what I'm thinking on the inside is, there's no difference between the two. Biblically, joy and happiness are the same thing. They're the exact same thing, but it can only be found in God. It can only be found in Jesus. And one of the gifts that Jesus gives you is true, actual, deep down, soul-abiding happiness or joy. And I am a spiritual baby. You know, I've been a Christian a long time. I'm a pastor. But I'm just a spiritual baby when it comes to having the joy that Jesus intended to give me. You know, with this cold, what do you have to do to your faucet, your kitchen faucet? If it's on the outside, facing the outside wall, you gotta turn it on and let it drip. You know, so the pipes don't burst and they don't freeze. My joy in life is kind of like just a slow, you know, inconsistent lack of forceful drip. It's there, but it's not nearly as strong as what it will be when Jesus returns. When Jesus returns, it's going to be Niagara Falls. When Jesus returns, all the buckets in the world aren't going to be able to contain the ocean of joy that you, if you're a Christian, will have. You know, we struggle with joy. We're still in a broken world filled with darkness, filled with sorrow, filled with evil. One day, it will not be so. And this gift that you've been given, that's just, it's like that dripping faucet. You get a little glimpse of it. It's going to overwhelm you in the best way possible. So Jesus has given you hope for something that will happen, true joy or true happiness. Here's a third one He's given us. Jesus gives us love. He gives the Christian love. And I don't mean He begins to love us. He's always loved us. He gives us the ability to love what we should love. Because the human problem is not that we don't love naturally. Human beings love. Our problem as human beings is that we love the wrong things too much and we don't love the right things at all. You know, we're meant as human beings to love God more than anything else and then love other people secondly. And what the Bible calls sin, what sin does is it makes us look for something other than God to make as our primary first love. And what Jesus does when he comes to you and saves you, he gives you hope, he gives you joy, and he begins to reorder the priorities of your life so that you can love God more than anything else. He gives you the ability to be who you were intended to be. I don't know if G.K. Chesterton, he was an old author in the 1800s from England. I don't know if he said this, but he apparently, it's been attributed to him. I've always loved this quote. G.K. Chesterton said, "Anytime a man knocks on a brothel door, he's really looking for God." Now, you probably never thought a pastor on Christmas Eve would mention a brothel door, but what is G.K. Chesterton saying there? Anytime a man knocks on a brothel door, he's really looking for God. What G.K. Chesterton meant is that deep down, your heart and my heart, it's like a hamster on a wheel. It's restless. It's looking for something to worship, looking for someone to worship. And we try to fill it in all sorts of different ways through putting something else on the throne other than God. We worship our family. We worship our career advancement. We worship money. We worship our home. We worship our financial security. We're always looking for something other than God. And Chesterton put that so well. Even a guy who doesn't want to have anything to do with God, he knocks on a brothel door. Deep down, what he's aching for is God. And the good news is when Jesus saves a man, he gives them hope. He gives them joy, real abiding happiness. And he gives them, he awakens them to the reality that they're meant to love God more than anything else. And he gives them the ability to begin to love God more than anything else. So hope, joy, love. And the last one I want to mention is peace. Jesus gives us real, real peace. We live, I think in 2022, I know people talk about how the world, you know, it's crazy, and it is. It's always been crazy, though. Since Genesis 3, the world has been crazy. There's never been a safer time to live than right now. The life expectancy for human beings, other than Methuselah in the Bible, has never been higher than it is right now. There's never been a time in human history that's more comfortable and convenient. I don't want to live in an era where there's no air conditioning and central heating. We live in a very, by and large, comfortable, well-off time period. And we yet, despite all that, we live in a sea of anxiety. People are frantically anxious. And one of the gifts that Jesus gives is not only hope and joy and the ability to love what you were meant to love, he gives you actual deep rest of your soul. You know, Jesus beautifully said, "Come to me, all you who labor." Anyone who's tired, anyone who's laboring and are weary, I will give you rest. And he's not talking about physical rest. He's talking about that deep, spiritual, emotional ability to just, he gives peace. Because scripturally, because of what Jesus did for you, you have the ability to have peace with the most significant, the most important being in the universe. The only being in the universe who controls your destiny, who numbers the hairs on your head, that is the being who Jesus said, you can have peace with God because of what I've done for you. And if you can have peace with God, not only does he give you peace with God, he gives you that deep abiding rest of your soul. Come to me and I will give you rest. And last thing I want to say before we sing the last song, Jesus has given us hope and joy and the ability to love and peace. Every single one of those gifts are not disconnected from Jesus. They all come directly from Jesus. And here's what I mean by that. You remember when you were a kid and you were learning how to ride a bike without training wheels? Who had to be right behind you? Unless you were a daredevil, who had to be right behind you? One of your parents, right? So picture your dad. He's stabilizing you. He's steadying you on your bike. The goal of your dad is not to stabilize you forever. The goal of your dad is to get you going. And the ultimate goal is for him to push you and you to basically say, Dad, thanks for the help. I can take it from here. That's the goal, for you to be self-sufficient. Guys, Jesus' work is not the initial boost at the beginning of your Christian life. And you can turn around to Jesus and say, thank you very much for dying for me. I can take it from here. No. Guys, Jesus is your Savior, not only when you first became a Christian, but throughout your entire Christian life. And day by day, hour by hour, He is not only the ultimate gift, He is the giver of all the gifts that flow to a Christian in the Christian life, including hope. And that hope is not something that expires December 26th. December 26th is probably my least favorite day of the year. Actually, maybe January 2nd. You know, it's kind of like, man, daylight savings is not till March. What do I have to look forward to? But Jesus, this Christian hope is not something that expires January 2nd. This joy, this happiness is eternal. And it's just going to grow when Christ comes back. It will infinitely grow. The ability to love will one day for the Christian be perfected. And then the peace with God, that pit in your stomach anxiety that Christians often, myself included, get, will one day vanish as God Himself wipes away every tear from our eyes. Guys, He is Jesus, the Word who became flesh, is filled with truth and grace. Let's pray. Lord, Jesus, we thank You for being a God who, you know, as Barrett preached on this past Sunday, You did not just complete Your work of dying and raising from the dead and then go up to heaven and twiddle Your thumbs. You are still just as necessary for our Christian lives as ever. And we thank You for being a God who supplies all of our needs. We pray that this Christmas in 2023 would be a year where we as Christians would be able to experience hope in You and joy in You that's inexpressible and filled with glory. And love for You and for neighbor, and peace not only with God, but the peace of God that passes our understanding. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.